This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Broadband Over Powerline World. We're about to speak to Marvin Bloomquist, who is in Burnett, or we're going to find out which, Texas. And he's been having some problems with radio interference from the Broadband Horizon installation of Broadband Over Powerline there, and we're going to talk about it. Welcome to Broadband Over Powerline World.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Why don't we start by getting the proper pronunciation of Burnett, Texas?
Well, locally we call it Burnett.
Burnett, darn it. Well, I'll try to call it Burnett.
Okay.
Not to be confused with Blanco and Blanco here, apparently, is a big issue, too. So.
Well, the Spanish word Blanco, but it could be just called Blanco around here.
Right,
a lot.
Right. If the Mexicans win it back, they'll call it Blanco again, I guess, is the idea. I interviewed Mr. Bates over there at Broadband Horizons, and he talked about the company's work with Broadband Over Powerline in Burnett, and you listened to that interview and took some exception with some of the points he made. So why don't you start off by telling us what those points were?
Right. Well, first, let me just say that there's definitely interference that comes from these systems. They're inherently going to be radiating high-frequency radio energy. And we have made some measurements at one of their pilot installations, which is actually near it's providing services to the city facility here, City Hall, if you want to call it that.
Right.
And those radiation signals or interfering signals are actually pretty high level, such that if you had one of these installed in a neighborhood, anyone living in that neighborhood would not be able to get anything but the very strongest shortwave signals, whether it's amateur radio or broadcast band or that sort of thing.
Okay.
Their particular system stops just below the citizens band, so it would not affect those signals, but anything below the citizens band up to just a little above the AM broadcast band would essentially be wiped out by the signal.
Now, when did you do those tests?
We did those tests actually in late September.
Late September of 2004.
Yes.
Now, do the effects take place at what I understand to be called the injection points or all along the power lines?
It's all along the power line. It would also, of course, be in the building where these systems are being used as well. And you can detect it several hundred feet from the power line. If you're directly under the power line, they're very high level.
Tell me a little bit about the technology of detecting these signals. Who did these tests? What kind of equipment did they use, and what kind of protocols did they use to find the signals?
Well, actually, the gentleman that did the tests is an amateur radio operator, but he's also an engineer who does testing on medical systems for radiation in a professional business.
You have to make sure people's pacemakers aren't interfered with, you mean?
Right, right.
Okay.
You know, that's certainly a concern when you've got a lot of devices in a hospital that can radiate
okay.
radio frequencies.
So what kind of test did you do here?
Well, we in addition to bringing some test equipment from the company he works with, we also had a mobile amateur radio station installed in his vehicle.
Right.
And we'd made measurements with both. These are, you know, not the kind of measurements that necessarily the FCC would make to determine whether these people are meeting the standards or not.
How would they differ from what the FCC would do?
Well, the FCC has a very well-defined set of measurements in terms of the antenna's location and the equipment used.
Right. So this is a more informal test?
More informal test.
Okay. And did you essentially stand under the power lines with this equipment? And
we made measurements essentially sitting in the parking lot right next to the power line, and then across the street as well.
Okay. And the findings of that test were what exactly?
If you're sitting in the parking lot, basically the spectrum between them, roughly 2 megahertz and 22 megahertz, is pretty much completely covered up with the signal that comes from the.
Okay, and what other kinds of users want to use that part of the spectrum?
Well, in addition to amateur radio, it's used by a large, wide variety of people. Of course, the problem is that if you put this in a neighborhood, the primary users are going to be amateur radio operators, but there's government, in fact, there's aircraft communication systems that operate in these bands. And in fact, if you look at the regulations that the FCC set out here recently, they exclude some frequencies within that band for use by BPL systems, and in fact they even exclude the deployment of BPL systems near certain government facilities because of the potential for radio interference.
Whose rules are those?
FCC.
says that you can't do BPL near these kinds of facilities?
Certain government facilities.
Okay. Now, are there a lot of amateur radio operators in Burnett?
Well, we're a small community. There's roughly 40 amateur radio operators in this area.
Okay. And are they aggregated into some organization?
Actually, the local amateur radio club asked me to head up a little committee to look into the interference problem.
Okay. And how big a problem is this? Does this essentially shut them down?
If you had this in your neighborhood, you wouldn't be able to use the high-frequency radio amateur bands.
Okay. Now, the FCC issued some regulations in October saying that setting some standards for BPL and setting up essentially a grievance procedure, as I understand it, for people to complain in an effective way to BPL operators and get the issues resolved. Are you familiar with those procedures?
Yes, somewhat familiar. You know, they're relatively new regulations.
And, right.
I have some familiarity.
Have you made use of them or filed under them? Or
no, we have not filed a formal complaint. Actually, the system here that's currently the initial trial system is in a commercial area, only covers about two or three blocks in area. There's no amateur radio operators in that area, and the only kind of interference it would cause was somebody with a mobile radio that happened to be in the parking lot there, and you can drive away. So, you know, we felt like at this time filing a formal complaint was a little bit premature, but we have given this report to the to Broadband Horizons. Actually, right following their interview, they did not have this report the time they interviewed.
Okay, is that the meeting with Larry McClung that you referred to?
No, we had a meeting with him shortly after they put the initial system in here.
And who is he?
He's actually the brother of Bobby McClung, who's one of the principals in the system. Broadband Horizons.
All right, and what did you ask him to do, or?
Well, one of the things he did agree to do with us was run some tests, or suggested. We wanted to run some tests in Burnett, and he said, well, they have a facility in Blanco they have a lot more control over. The one in Burnett was providing high-speed Internet services to the city hall there, and they would prefer to run them in Blanco, where they're basically only providing services to their office.
Okay.
And however, when we got ready to do those and wanted to, you really need to run a control test. Just coming up outside and making measurements is not really adequate. You need to know what kind of loads on the system, for example. And these systems, actually, if there's nobody using them, they don't put out very much noise. But
right.
As soon as you start to do a large file download or video transfer.
So essentially the interference is in direct proportion to the amount of traffic on the line.
To an extent, that's true. Yeah.
Okay. So what happened with Bobby McClung?
Well, when we got ready to make the measurements, they declined to do any type of cooperative measurement with us. I mean, we could have pulled out up outside in front of their office and made measurements, but we really don't know what we're measuring. I mean, they could turn the system off, or
right, and then you'd see no interference. So you essentially wanted them to do a control test where they would download some files and you'd check for the radiation and see what happened.
And we got permission to do something similar to that from the Burnett city officials with their system there, and that's where we made the measurements.
Okay. Oh, so they did cooperate with you. They did bother to. They sent a file at a certain time, and you checked it.
The city actually gave us access to the one computer in their office that was connected to the BPL system.
Okay. Who gave you that access?
The city of Burnett.
City of Burnett. Okay.
Right.
Now
that's who this test was set up to demonstrate.
I see. Okay. And where is Delaware Springs, and what does that have to do with all this?
Delaware Springs is a housing development on the edge of Burnett. It's actually a golf course development. Many of these houses are on the golf course.
Right.
And it's a relatively new area. It's a fairly affluent homes, and they don't have any high-speed internet services there other than wireless services.
Right.
They're also, it's somewhat hilly in the area, lots of trees. Wireless coverage is not always the best, and on top of that, they have restrictions against outside antennas, so you can't put up an antenna on the roof.
So it sounds like the only way you can get broadband in there is by broadband over power lines. So
that would be certainly one alternative. They, you know, eventually I would assume they would have DSL and cable available in there, but they're not available today.
Okay, and what was the problem with that with Delaware Springs?
Well, that's where they went to put their wanted to put their first commercial, if you want to call it that, installation.
Right.
It's an underground utilities system, which hopefully would be lower interference issues than with above ground.
Right.
That's not necessarily proven. There's other systems already installed in the United States that have underground utilities that have significant radio interference already, so we know that this is not a panacea to cure that problem.
So what was the problem at Delaware Springs then?
We have not made any measurements yet at Delaware Springs. They've actually only got, I think, 3 users out there. It's still in prototype stage.
Okay.
You know, it sounds like they're ready to turn this thing on, but from everything I hear, that's not the case.
Okay. Now, in the letter you sent me, you also said that there was Mr. Bates's interview was misleading on the grounds that it was saying that farmers and ranchers would be among the primary target audiences markets for this product. What do you think is wrong with what he said about that?
Well, basically, this stuff requires, just as other systems, whether it's DSL or cable, require a fairly high density of population in order to be able to provide services in there. If you've got customers that are half a mile apart, in fact, if you recall in his interview, he said that, you know, you can provide about a mile square of customers from one of these systems.
Right.
You have to have a high-speed backbone amongst all this. Well, if you've got customers halfway, you know, half a mile apart to begin with, and you have to have a high-speed backlink that provides services at every square mile, it just does not make sense. It economically doesn't make sense to be able to try to put BPO in there with the current technology.
It's not true that you just need essentially amplifiers or repeaters along the line, and the backhaul can come from further away?
Right, but that's a fair amount of expense, and that's why it's not economically viable. It's technically viable, but economically it's a whole lot cheaper to put in something like wireless for these folks, and you don't have all that infrastructure cost.
So you were essentially saying that, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, that he was misrepresenting how useful this was going to be or how aggressive they were going to be in rolling it out to farmers and ranchers?
Well, I'm going to sort of turn the table on to you. I'm saying you led down a path of talking about that, and he failed to point out that that's probably not a viable
Oh, and it was, I got enthusiastic about all the services it would provide for widely scattered farmers and ranchers, and he didn't disabuse me.
Wait a minute here. We're not targeting those customers. And if you ask them straight out, they'll tell you what they're targeting are small rural communities.
Right.
Not targeting rural users who are out on the farm and ranch, because they're just too thinly distributed to be able to economically provide BPL services.
So you're talking, they want to offer service in town, in small towns.
A small town that doesn't have other high-speed internet connections is the kind of target I'm sure they'd like to go in, because they're going to have difficulty competing with cable or DSL if that's available.
In those towns, you mean they want to go into towns that don't have DSL or cable?
Right.
But they don't want to go out onto the farm there, because it just doesn't make economic sense.
That's my opinion, and I think most of the people in the BPO business would say, with current systems at least, that's the case.
Okay. Let's sort of wrap up by focusing on where things stand now and what you'd like to see happen and where you'd like to go from here with this.
Well, you know, the present BPL systems that essentially operate in this high-frequency radio range, I'm not aware of any system that has been deployed that does not have some interference issues associated with it. And it gives me a lot of concern. There's a lot of other alternatives to most of this stuff that whether it's wireless or cable or DSL or other technologies that basically could provide those same services without this frequency pollution, or basically amounts to pollution in the high-frequency radio spectrum.
And wireless works in another part of the spectrum, is that the idea?
That's correct. It works way up in the microwaves or very high frequencies.
And so even though it itself is a wireless technology, it doesn't interfere with the wireless technologies that are being used by amateur radio operators?
It's off in its own part of the spectrum, doesn't interfere with other users, and it's basically operating frequencies or line of sight. The frequency range this stuff is operating in currently with these BPL systems is very unique in that it can propagate long distances all over the world with very low power, and that's another concern that hasn't really been addressed yet, is if a lot of these systems get out and these signals do have the potential to be able to propagate long distances, it can basically raise a noise level from people that are not even close to BPL system.
In other words, it doesn't attenuate very much.
Well, it can under the right conditions, it can propagate long distances. And you know, I'm not saying that that's a given fact that it will do that, but it has the potential to do it.
It's just an unhappy coincidence that the frequency that's being used there on the broadband over power line has these effects on this part of the spectrum.
And I thought it was sort of ironic that when you had the interview with Mr. Bates, one of the discussions was about these power lines being antennas, and really, you don't want that power line to be an antenna. You want it to be a transmission line.
Right.
What a cable or DSL system is. A transmission line takes the signal from point A to point B and hopefully radiates very little of it. In fact, radiated power is power lost to the system that you don't want to lose. And those other systems, very minuscule amount of radiation from them. But when you put it on a power line, that power line was not designed as a transmission system for high-frequency radio signals. And it's a very poor transmitter, and it ends up radiating a tremendous amount of energy out into the ether, and that's not what you wanted to do with it.
Now, is that intrinsically necessary? Is there any other way or any other frequencies that could be used by the power line operators to transmit the internet connectivity?
There is a system that a company is trying to market. I don't know how viable it is. They claim it works. A company called Corridor Systems that actually operates on microwave frequencies and uses the power line as sort of a waveguide process to send it down the power line.
They're called Corridor Systems?
Corridor Systems, yes.
Do you have any contact information for them?
Well, they have a website. If you just look at corridor.com, I think.
Okay, I'll certainly check them out. And you're saying that they transmit internet connectivity with microwaves?
That's correct, yeah. And it's got a different set of problems. Corridor.biz, corridor.biz.
Okay, and what are the problems with it, though?
Well, again, this is not a transmission line that was designed for this kind of thing. Anytime you come to a transformer or even an insulator, it's going to cause some problems.
Right.
But any kind of discontinuity along that transmission line is going to cause some difficulty, and you're going to have to install equipment to get around it and that sort of thing. But, you know, I'm not to speak for their technology.
No, I'm going to let them do that. But
yeah. It inherently would be much less interfering to any other users, let's put it that way.
The corridor system, the microwave system.
Right.
It would have its own problems, but it wouldn't be generating the problems that the high-frequency radio waves are doing.
That's correct. Exactly.
Okay. So have you been in touch with Broadband Horizons at all since?
I've exchanged some emails, in fact, since my email to you about their interview.
Right.
But that's been the first contact we've had with them in some time. They expressed interest initially to cooperate with us and basically said that on the interview, but our experience to date has not been particularly good on getting in cooperation.
Okay, so would you be willing to be in a joint interview here on Broadband Over Power Line World and talk to them and hash out some of these problems?
Yep.
Yeah?
Okay.
All right, good. Well, I'll see if they're interested, and then I'll get back to you one way or the other.
Okay.
Okay, so any final words on do you want them to stop deploying this system anywhere, or do you think they can fix it?
Well, you know, there may be some places where people are willing to tolerate a small amount of radio interference, and it covers a very small area. But if there's amateur radios in the community or they move in the community, there's going to be problems. One problem that has not been even addressed by these folks, we keep telling them that it is a problem, is that you've got the potential of reverse interference. Basically, if I get on my amateur radio transmitter and start transmitting, it will wipe out the BPL signal.
Right.
And, the way the regulations are designed, that's not my problem. If I'm wiping out their signal, they're an unlicensed service, and they have to tolerate interference from any other service.
Right.
On the other hand, if that's my neighbor that I'm taking his high-speed internet out, he's not going to be real happy with me, even if it's legally not my fault. So,
right, and that could lead...
This whole issue is another one that I think the BPL folks have tried to sort of sweep under the carpet.
Okay, is it possible, do you just get essentially snow on the radios, or is it possible to actually intercept the internet signals with the amateur radio?
Well, no, you could. It would take different equipment to be able to actually
decipher
tap into the system, so to speak. than amateur radio equipment. I'm not saying that's not possible, but it strictly is an interfering signal with amateur radio, and the problem is it covers up everything. It's not like, you know, there's one little frequency and I can tune off to the side and get away from it. This just wipes out the whole spectrum.
Okay. Well, we'll see what we can do about getting the two parties here to talk to each other. Anything else you want to say about it?
Well, I actually just listened to an interview you did with a Texas representative. Actually, I thought he Phil King, and
right.
I thought he did a nice interview with you.
Right.
And one of the things I was very glad to hear him say is basically, I don't think government entities have any business promoting one technology over another. I wish that were the case for some of our FCC commissioners and even the lady from the California Public Utilities Commission. I don't think they have any business promoting BPL over any other technology. And I would agree it needs a level playing field, and, you know, technology and economics are what should be the limiting, determine whether technology is successful. BPL is a little bit different situation in that if my neighbor has it and causes interference to my radios, that's unlike any other type of high-speed internet connection that he might have.
This goes back to Robert Frost, who said good fences make good neighbors, but he wasn't talking about electromagnetic spectrum. Okay, well, thanks very much for talking to us, and hopefully we can continue this discussion in the various media that we're using, including amateur radio, telephone, and whatever kind of internet connections we're using.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.